one of the big challenges with the radiotherapy space is actually the supply chain. So if you've got two or three companies now making this, it's just going to add to that pie. There's going to be more CDMOs building it. There's going to be more specialized delivery companies getting involved. So in general, they'll be able to carve out a bit more of a market share, and, you know, the benefit will be more drugs available, hopefully cheaper to the patients.
Hello and welcome. My name is Charles Spence, host of A Dose of Reality, where we discuss some of the hardest parts about clinical leadership and how to build a meaningful career. Join me as I interview leaders, share career insights, and help you on your journey to becoming a global clinical leader.
In today's episode, I'm going to go through some of the research and work that we've been doing in the radiotherapy space. Now, if you're going to be watching this, I apologize because it's going to be a pretty terrible video to watch because I'm going to be reading a lot from my report. But if you're listening to it on a podcast, then it's going to be music to your ears. So let's get on with it, shall we? All right. So if you've been living in a cave, you will have no idea what radiotherapy is and the excitement that's been happening around this space. So radioligand therapy is essentially attaching a radioactive isotope to a modality of some sort, which then penetrates the tumor cells and et cetera, et cetera. Okay. That's the kind of genre of it. I'm sure a nuclear physician listening to this or top developers in the radiotherapy space will, as part of them, die inside and their eyes rolling. But that's the kind of general overview of it. So in the report, we looked at around about 95 companies that are doing some work in this space. Now, not all of them are working in a classical radioligand therapy. Some are doing work in nanoparticles, such as nanobiotics. Some of them have kind of a photo activation devices and marking, which is Rakuten Medical. And then some others kind of are more maybe device-based or something. But in general, most of them fall into radiotherapeutics. And then within that category is the radioligand space. So in the report, which is going to be attached into this podcast episode and free to download, I look into some of the clinical trials which interest me personally for 2024. Inside and in this episode, I'm also going to break down Point Bio's and Raise, the Raise Bio, is that what they're called? Yeah, Raise Bio, looking at their exits in December last year and what that means for the industry. Okay, so let's go on to some of the early clinical trials, which I find interesting. So some preclinical or phase one clinical trials, which I'm going to be watching this year, there's a few that I've listed in this report. So I've listed here Mariana Oncology, I've listed YMAPS, I've listed Full Life Tech, 3B Pharma, Molecular Partners. Now, there are a lot of phase one trials being run in the radiotherapy space. It's just not possible for me to put it all in here, nor would it be interesting to read. So I've kind of given a little bit of a mixture here about why some of them are interesting. So one of the ones which was quite cool is YMAPS. Now, if you don't know YMAPS, this was a company founded to treat rare forms of glioblastoma. And that was because their founder at the time, his daughter suffered from it. And he was able to raise money through his connections and his network and actually bring another treatment to the market. Not radiotherapy, but another treatment to the market, which is just an absolutely fascinating and inspiring story. Now, what YMAPS have now done is that, again, within that in that space, they have produced the studies, which is called 1101. And then they also have another one called Study 1201, links to the studies in the report. And what makes their technology different is they're using something called a SADA delivery technology. So they're using a Lu-177 isotope, which is quite a common isotope in the industry. That's where AAA got their approval. And but they're using their modality and their delivery of it is what is going to be different. Now, they've reported that they've got better tumor targeting and uptake
and a reduced toxicity load, which is often the problem with the Lu-177 approach. And it's going to be, they're going to have some of their first readouts Q2 this year to see if that SAT attack is going to be useful. It's a CD38 targeting. It's a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which I believe, again, could misquote me here, but I believe that was Bexar and GSK which did it, which they pulled from the market because it wasn't that commercially attractive towards the end. So it'll be really interesting to see, A, if this works, A, B, if it is better than what's already on the market, and C, if it is much, much better, will they progress it commercially, which was stopped 10 years ago, GSK. Another one as well that will be interesting to watch is Mariana Oncology. They received huge amounts of funding in 2023. They're going to be entering their first clinical asset. It's MC339, and that study starts this year. Now, they're going to be targeting small cell lung cancer using a macrocyclic peptide-based drug discovery platform. Essentially, how they're selling it is it's a more targeted delivery with enhanced tumor distribution. My goodness, can't speak today. Now, unlike many other firms, they're going to be starting with small cell lung cancer. A lot of firms are doing kind of prostate cancer or neuroendocrine. So it's quite nice to see different companies using different targeting approaches, using different sub-indications, and they're going to be using an actinium payload, which is, again, quite common in the radiotherapy space. But again, it is different to what's already approved. So different approach, different tumor targeting with a slightly different, you know, with a less common isotope. Be interesting to see how their trial and data is going to stand out, because, you know, it's going to need to be powerful to be able to stand out from the crowd. And then another one, which is not really marketing themselves on the isotope that they're delivering, but rather the modality, and that's Molecular Partners. Now, Molecular Partners are using what they call their DARPin technology, and they're going to be target selection of something called DLL3. Now, the most common targets in the radiotherapy space is the PSMA target. That's very common. Again, that's where the approvals were for a lot of these big drugs. But it'll be interesting to see what are going to be the benefits of targeting DLL3. What are going to be the benefits of using that DARPin technology? Now, these guys have partnered with Orano Med, which is part of the Orano Group, which is a huge organization. And they're going to be basically, Molecular Partners' approach, from my understanding, is they're going to be partnering with different people and allowing those companies to adapt their technology. And they're going to use their isotopes and their research, but using their DARPin technology. Their DARPin technology is supposed to have a higher clearance rate and therefore lower toxicity, which again could be just different modalities, different approaches for these isotopes. There's some of the phase one trials. Got the report. We've listed some others. You can read that yourself. Now, what are some pivotal trials that are happening? Okay, so we've seen Raise and Point Bio had a 1.4 to 4.1 billion exit, and the big reason for that is these guys are essentially doing what's already been proven to be done through AAA's portfolio, but with slight differences and slight variations. So let's go on to Point Pharma, which has their fairly well-known one, which is the SPLASH trial. Now, that is a study start which was all the way back in February 2021, the primary completion of Q4. So we're going to be starting to see some of those readouts and then study completion all the way over in 2028. Now, again, this is a 177 Lu isotope. So again, we've seen this before, but how these guys are measuring it is they are reporting to have an even better safety profile than what's out there. The reduction in risk and radiographic progression of death has been pretty good. The using this compared to what else is already out there, which is abiraterone and eslimetide, it's showing it's going to be better than these guys. So basically, it's showing that it's better than some of the drugs out there,
But the question is it going to be strong enough to beat AAA's results? Okay. Now, again, it's also in the prostate cancer space. It's a similar target that they're approaching. So it's really going to have to fit into this crowd, and it's really going to have to show differentiation in order to be exciting. Big reason why Point Pharma was acquired by Lilly is because they also have quite a significant preclinical, early clinical assets as well. And also, bearing in mind, one of the big challenges with the radiotherapy space is actually the supply chain. So if you've got two or three companies now making this, it's just going to add to that pie. There's going to be more CDMOs building it. There's going to be more specialized delivery companies getting involved. So in general, they'll be able to carve out a bit more of a market share, and, you know, the benefit will be more drugs available, hopefully cheaper to the patients who are out there right now. And again, another one here is ITM are doing something. They have the COMPOSE, which is a phase 3 trial readouts, which are going to be happening anytime soon. But again, the study completion 2026, very similar neuroendocrine tumors. They have something called a non-carrier added. And essentially that means that these products can be stored with less contamination, reducing the cost of the logistics, the, reducing the waste product. Not going to get too much into detail here, but there is a non-carrier added, which is a different version of these isotopes, which allows for better delivery and safety. There's a breakdown on my LinkedIn about why Raise Bio was acquired and what I think makes them so special. They're such an interesting company because they're only founded in, I think, late 2019, and then had a $4.2 billion exit only four or five years later, which is absolutely wild. So $4.1 billion exit. So go check that out. It's on my LinkedIn about why I think that's such a cool business strategy they had and how they executed it absolutely fantastically, and why BMS, I think, is a smart play for getting involved in that area. So these are some of the early clinical stage trials that are running in the radiotherapy space. Some of the late stage clinical trials, of course, there's a ton more out there. If you're not from one of these companies and haven't spoken about you, it's just not possible, right? And I've included some in the report. I think the space is absolutely fascinating. The toxic payload delivery area, which is radiotherapy and ADCs, is definitely here to stay. And then as more people get involved, as more approvals happen, then we're going to see faster supply chains, more specialization, and hopefully reducing that cost, which can then make the more commercially attractive, which then makes more people want to get involved in this space. So definitely here to stay. We're going to see more and more and more areas in this. And in my next report on this, and my next episode on this, I want to try to investigate some of the different isotopes for you guys. What are all the different isotopes? What are all the different modalities? What are all the different targets? Obviously, if you're working in the radiotherapy space, I'm sure you're going to know this. You're going to know way more than I do. And I would love to hear you and speak to you so you can give me more. If you're not in that radiotherapy space, this can give you a really simple way to so you can get as involved and informed as possible. Report is available. Message me if you need it. Good luck out there. Thanks for listening. Ciao.
Thank you for listening to this show. Now, if you've enjoyed it, then click subscribe, leave a review, or just let me know it's valuable. You know what? We all have doubts from time to time, and receiving these small pieces of encouragement can have a huge impact. And of course, if you are looking for a career change or you want to be connected with fantastic people in our networks, then please contact me directly either on my email, charles@thesarahdesearch.com, or on my LinkedIn. You can also find access to more material, courses, and any other stuff which can help you on your leadership and your career journey. Thanks again for listening, and have a great rest of the day.